Hello and welcome to Read It With Whiskey. My name is Laura Gentinen, the author of the Shockwave series, and I am your host. Today we have a really fun episode. We are talking with R.S. Williams, the author of Kingdom of Lies, The Kane Saga Book 1. And this book was so much fun. We had such a great conversation. But first, let me tell you a little bit about Rhianne. R.S. Williams is a fantasy author from Somerset, England, who lives with her husband and a new baby and two cats. She started writing in her late teens and grew up on a steady diet of books and TV feeding her imagination. When she's not writing or reading, Rhianne enjoys watching far too much Netflix, playing video games, and going for walks. I actually found Rhianne on Instagram and I follow her podcast, the Author Accountability Podcast. Definitely check it out. But today we are going to be talking about her book, Kingdom of Lies. So here's what it's all about. Magic is back in Adalith, and with it, the return of Kyran. Elijah spends his days preparing for the annual Hollum horse race and working at his guardian Merrick's forge. That is, until Merrick is summoned back to Castle Airborough in Adalith by the king. Unable to stay in Rhiand without a legal guardian, Eli is forced to go with Merrick, who takes up the position of captain and trains the new guards. But the more time Eli spends in Adalith, the more his lost memories resurface, and they throw up worrying questions about his past. As a member of Princess Sienna's elite guard, Eli saves her life when it's threatened by the presence of a mysterious missing prince. Eli's heroics incur the wrath of a mad sorcerer known only as the Master, hell-bent on ending the courting prince's life. Elijah enters a dangerous path of self-discovery where magic and secrets intertwine. With the identity of the missing prince revealed, the truth about his past is within reach. But can he unlock his memories and save the riddles in time to save the true heir to the throne? Or will the castle be brought crumbling down once more? I gotta say, this book was really fun to read, and one scene specifically has stood out in my mind for a very, very long time. We talk about it in the interview, so without further ado, let's hop in.
Welcome to Read It With Whiskey, the interview podcast featuring science fiction and fantasy authors. My name is Laura Gentinen, your host and the author of the Shockwave series. I am also a book club moderator, speaker, and avid reader, truly invested in every author's story. Within this podcast, I bring to you, the reader, all the behind-the-scenes secrets to how these guest indie authors bring their books into the world. If you are a sci-fi fantasy reader, then you need to hear from these authors. Let's learn about the person behind the page. Sit back, sip some whiskey, and lean in to these self-published authors.
Hello, Rhianne, and welcome to Read It With Whiskey. How are you doing today?
I am good. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to talk to you. I absolutely loved your book, Kingdom Yay. Of Lies, and I'm so excited to talk about it and talk about what's coming up next in your author career. But first of all, let's just tell our listeners, why did you decide that you wanted to be a writer?
Well, I've always enjoyed reading books. Like from a really young age, I've always read books. I even skipped school once just so I could finish reading a book. I was like, Mom, I'm sick. I wasn't sick. I just wanted to finish reading. And when I was younger, I wrote like poems and stuff. And I've kind of grown out of that as I've gotten older because that doesn't really interest me anymore. And in our schools in the UK, you kind of get to write a poem and then they get collated into like a little book. So that was kind of like my first published thing. When I was a teenager, I thought I would be, you know, the next Taylor Swift. And I started to write songs. That did not get me anywhere. But it was fun. And then when I got to college, I was just like, you know what, I love reading. I love creating stories. I, you know, usually go to bed daydreaming some ridiculous story, like I'm on a dragon or something. I was like, let's give it a go and see what happens. And that's how I got into writing.
Oh, that's so exciting. And I feel like I've had a lot of people recently on the show who have either been really into poetry or songwriting. And that's one of the ways that they go into writing. So it's interesting that you're one of those people too, because I think maybe two or three of the recent interviews I've done have had music or poetry in their history, which is just a kind of a cool tie-in. Oh, but so much fun. And so you've been writing for quite a while now. So what do you think is your favorite part about being a writer, being an author?
Well, I have two. So I really love the outlining process because it's the stage where I can get ridiculously excited. You know, I get to be creative. I can start at the end because when I write my stories, like when I actually go in depth, I write linearly, so I can't like jump around. But in the outlines I do, and I'm like, oh my God, this can happen at the end and then this can happen. And I become like a little kid in a candy shop. I'm like, yeah. And then obviously the biggest thing for me is to be able to just hold it in my hand and be like, I made this. This was all me.
Oh, I love that. How did you feel when you had Kingdom of Lies the first time in your hands?
It was a bit of a surreal moment because I came up with the story in, must have been 2015. I was on the first holiday with my boyfriend, now husband. We were in Fuerteventura. We were sat on a sun lounger around by the pool, and I was just like, ding. Oh, I've got this idea. And when I wrote it down, it came to three stories, and I was like, holy hell, I've just made a trilogy. And yeah, so to finally hold it in my hands last year in 2021, I was just like, oh my God, I finally done it.
Oh, so exciting. And now you get to do it a couple more times as those other books come out.
Yes, so fun. Yes. Return of the Dragons will hopefully be out September, October time. I haven't quite set a date yet, but hopefully September, October.
Oh, so exciting. And you actually just touched on it a little bit with outlining. It sounds like I follow you on Instagram and you are writing every single day. I'm blown away with how consistent you are. And so it sounds like you've kind of developed like a routine. So tell us a little bit about that.
So when I wrote my first book, I pantsed the whole thing. And I had to get a developmental editor because there were so many plot holes that I just couldn't keep up with what was going on. And then when I did Kingdom of Lies, it was kind of in the middle. I kind of had an idea of what I wanted. I had some bullet points written down and then I just kind of went in and did that. But the second and the third one, I did outline properly and it just made it so much easier because then I can be like, what the hell happened in chapter 25 in Kingdom of Lies? And I can just open my script and I go, oh yeah, look, that's what happened. Fabulous. No, I'm not, you know, bringing a character back to life that died two chapters ago. So yeah, I've definitely transitioned into being a plotter because for me, I still go off on tangents. Like if I'm in the middle of a scene and my character decides they want to go through the back door rather than the front door, we go on a little adventure, but I know that that's where I've got to get them to, and how they get there is up to them.
Yeah, characters taking over. I think that's one of the reasons why I can't be a plotter is because every time I'm writing, my characters are like, yeah, you want us to do all that, but we're just going to go this way instead. And so I'm like, all right, characters, you can take control, take the wheel. And I totally relate to what you're saying with your first book because I pantsed my first book. And I knew it would be, well, I wrote it originally to be like maybe a standalone, but then after it was done, I was like, yeah, it can't be a standalone because there are plot holes. And so now I've done similar to you where after I've written, now I write the outline so I can go back and make sure I don't re-alive somebody who I killed off.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how writing evolves over time. Chapter titles. So some books I've read have chapter titles. Some books don't. I don't do chapter titles because they are so difficult. And you have a chapter title for every single chapter in your book. How and why?
I don't know. And I don't know. honestly, it was probably one of the worst decisions I've ever made because there's still some chapters in book three where I'm like, I've got no idea what to call this chapter. So I think I've still got three left to title and I'm just like, I've run out of words. I don't know what to call them. But it's fun. Like I suppose I got inspired by the idea because of books like Harry Potter and things like that. And they all have chapter titles. And I was like, oh, this is kind of like a fun idea. And I did book one and I was like, yes, this is amazing. And then I did book two and I was like, there's a couple of gaps, but we'll be fine. And then I did book three and I was like, this is the worst decision I've ever made in my life.
Oh, well, now I know for the future, I won't even try because it sounds like I've thought about it and I don't find many books with chapter titles, at least for this podcast. I mean, I've had a few, but this one, I don't know why. I think just because I would intentionally read the chapter title and think about like, okay, how is this going to tie into the book
as I was reading your book. And I don't think I was as intentional while I was reading other books when I was looking at the titles. So that's why it popped up in my head. But yeah, again, props to you, because that's tough to summarize a chapter without giving stuff away completely about what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've written a couple of standalones where they don't have chapter titles, and the novellas for my next series don't have chapter titles, but somehow the six chapters that I've written for book one of my next series have chapter titles. But I've just kind of, I've kind of said to myself, if I don't get them all done, they're all being removed.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah. Less stress. So
yeah, less stress.
You are a self-published writer. Yes. Were you always going down that route, or did you think about doing traditional publishing at all?
I did think about traditional publishing, but the more I researched it, the more I was like, well, they don't let you do much of what you want. You have to do what they want. And I'm like, but I want to pick my cover, and I want to pick how pretty it looks inside. So there's just no point. I did query a few people with Kingdom of Lies. Most people wrote back and was like, this is great, but it's not what we need right now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, fine. And in the end, I was like, you know what? I finished it. I've edited it. I'm going to treat myself and get the cover. And then once I got the cover, I was like, nope, self-publishing all the way.
Yeah, that's definitely a theme in the podcast, that pressure to do what they want. And you're like, no, this is my story. I want to keep to it. Yeah. And we've been skirting around the topic a little bit. So let's dive into Kingdom of Lies. Okay. What is this book about? Tell our listeners.
So in a nutshell, it is about a forgotten prince who is returned to his homeland. He becomes a bodyguard to the current princess until assassins come and unearth the secrets of his past.
So exciting. And I think that's like the most concise way an author has ever described their book. It was so like on point. It's like an elevator pitch. That was beautiful. There's some authors who are come on here and they're like, well, this kind of happens, but then this happens. I'm one of those people. So I'm not making fun of them. I'm just relating really hard to them. So good job on the on the great summary. And so what inspired this story? Where did it come from?
So I was on the NaNoWriMo forums, and I was in the adopt a plot section because I was trying to find just like a scene for the story that I was writing. And I saw this plot that was about a character. It was a female in the adopt a plot who becomes a bodyguard and then assassins come. And I was like, oh, I really like this. Maybe I can like flip it on its end, gender bend it a little bit. And then it just kind of grew and ended up as three stories. And now it's coming to life.
When you were writing that the first book, did anything change significantly, or is everything pretty close to how it was originally when you were inspired?
The first book, everything is pretty close to when it was inspired. The third book changed a lot because, kind of a spoiler, I decided to kill off a lot of characters.
Oh no.
Yeah. One of them, I still cry when I read the scene. Like, I was editing it the other day and I was like, oh no, what have I done?
But sometimes you need to kill off the characters. I know. Yeah. I'm writing book three in my series right now, and I'm deciding how to end it because I don't want to end it on a note where it could continue on if I decide one day. I'm like, no, I want this series to be done so I can move forward. And I'm like, who can I kill?
Well, I was thinking about all of the characters that I had, and I was like, where does their story end? And I was like, this character doesn't have an end. I was like, oh no, that means they're gonna die. And then I had to think of a way for them to die that would be meaningful for the story. So it's near the end of book three. It's during a big battle, and it also has a nod to something that happens in book one as well. So, oh, I'm tearing up just thinking about it.
Oh no, oh no. Oh, I love when books have like little tie-ins to, like, the first book ties into something in the third, but you don't realize it until you get to the third book. Is that part of your outlining process to kind of put those little nuggets throughout the series?
Yes. Yeah. So I'm currently writing the first book in a new series, but I've already written the novellas. And as I'm writing and like changing little things, I go back and I'm like, okay, I need to edit this so that it matches. But yeah, no, I do like having little Easter eggs in books so that seasoned readers can read it and go, oh my God, I remember this.
Oh, that's so much fun. I love being the reader when that's happening, but I love being the writer even more when I can put those in for the reader later on.
Yeah.
It's just like a little secret that we hold until the reader picks up on it. So super fun. Okay. So this story, I mean, you gave a great little summary there, but let's dive in a little bit deeper. So who's our main character? Tell us a little bit more about him.
So his name's Elijah. He, you know, just like a typical teenage boy, he is living in like this beautiful desert area of the world that he lives in. And he's ridiculously focused. So him and his uncle have a forge and they also have some stables, and he is in love with horses. Like, he wants to enter into the annual race because you can win loads of money and you can like tour around and basically you become famous in their world. And he's like, I want to do it. And yeah, he's just a typical boy until someone from his uncle's past comes back and is like, yeah, you need to get back over there. Otherwise, all hell's going to break loose.
Oh, and then it's hard because he doesn't really know what's going on for a lot of the beginning of the book. He's kind of confused. And obviously, there's a series, so you know that he's important to the world.
Yeah. When I originally wrote it, I tried to keep who he was a secret, but I just found it worked a lot better if everybody but him knew who he was.
Yeah, I liked that throughout the book, at least in the bit, in the beginning, the beginning, in the middle, the biddle. he's like running around and you can tell people know who he is and they're like, oh, nice to meet you. Am I meeting you? You know, and so as a reader, you can kind of pick up on those cues and it's exciting as you go through. We're not going to talk spoilers, but it's exciting to go through and see how he evolves and gets to learn a little bit more about himself as the story progresses.
Yeah,
for sure. We're not going to dive into all the characters because there's a load of characters. I don't know how you keep track of all of them. Actually, let's talk about that really quick. Why did you decide to put so many characters in here? And yeah, how did you keep track of them?
To answer the first question, I don't know why I decided to put so many characters in. To answer the second one, I just have a list. I have a list of everybody's names, their basic description, so that I don't get confused with like hair and eye color, and then who they are related to. But fun story. So I actually changed two characters and I added in an additional one after my beta readers went through the book, because one of my beta readers was like, why is everyone a man? And I was like, I don't know. So you know what? I'm going to change one to a woman.
Oh, so Gianna. I was going to say, is it Gianna?
Yeah, Gianna was actually a boy. Now she is a badass woman and I think it works so much better. And then Maeveen actually didn't exist until I was like, oh, I'm going to rewrite it. I'm going to change this character because they've said this. And I was like, actually, it would work so much better for Elijah if like his cousin was like, hey, I know you. And he's like, who are you?
Oh, that's interesting. Because I feel like she has such a like a big part in the story. Like obviously they meet each other and then as it progresses. So that's interesting that she didn't even exist.
Oh yeah, she didn't exist. Well, she didn't exist in the way she is now.
Okay.
Originally Jackson had a son and he was just kind of like a side character who didn't really do much. And I was like, well, if you don't really do much, I don't need you.
Right.
And then I was like, we need more women. So I'm just gonna make you a girl and make you more involved. And it just all fitted together then. I was like, oh, yay.
Yeah, for sure. And I like that she has a role with the princess too, because then it kind of ties in and it connects all the characters really flawlessly. Oh, interesting. Oh, I love hearing backstories like this. So much fun. And then I always ask authors who their favorite character is. And we already mentioned my favorite character, Gianna, even though she's not like one of the main, well, she is like one of the main characters, but she doesn't have too many of those roles where it's like front center. I like her supporting character role within the story. And I just like her personality and her relationship with the other people in their little crew. So who's your favorite character of the book besides the main character?
Well, mine would be Gianna. Okay. I also really like Maeveen. And I have to say Leon just makes me laugh. Every time I write him in a scene, I'm like, oh, you sarcastic man. I love you.
Yeah, he's fun too. I like all of them, Gianna, Sahab, and then Leon. Yeah, I like that little dynamic. And it just makes me happy that Elijah has friends. And he even mentions it too, being able to have like a little community of people where he can like trust and support. Oh, so much fun. But one of the characters, this scene, you actually just made a TikTok / Instagram reel about this scene in the story where Elijah meets the princess for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's my favorite scene of the book. I think back about it all the time. I'm just like, oh, Elijah. So tell our listeners, it's not really a spoiler because it is in the beginning of the book, but tell us about that scene a little bit.
So I have to say, this was one of the most fun scenes I've ever written. I think this was the most like explorative scene that I've done like in the beginning of my writing, because it was one that was in the original first draft. And then I was just like, do you know what would be really funny is if he meets the princess and pretends that he's like this really cool high up to do, and it's just like, what are you doing roaming the halls scantily clad? I should tell you off. And then the next day he obviously meets her and he's like, oh my god, what have I done?
Oh, it was just so funny. And he's like, oh, you're looking for a bed to go and warm up in. And I was like, oh, Elijah, you don't know who this is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just so great. I loved that scene. Think about it all the time. But we do have to mention one, not a specific character, but a set of people, agents of Kyran. Yeah. Who are these people? Why are they important? Without spoilers.
So they work for the big bad. The big bad basically was given a foretelling by a witch who basically is kind of like a palm reader. She'll like read your palm and then tell you your future. And she, if you read the prequel, you'll read this scene that comes out. It's free if you sign up to my newsletter. But basically she reads his palm, and then the witch kind of like gets taken over by like this god. And this god is like, yeah, you can have all of the power that you want, but you have to lose the woman that you love and possibly kill a child. So the big bad's like, cool, let's do it. And all of the agents of Kyran, of the people that like basically follow him and that he's brainwashed into believing that he's going to be this god and shower them with everything that they want.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm excited to see how it evolves within the series, because this book, it touches on it, obviously, mm-hmm. within the book, but I feel like there's going to be more. And so I'm excited to see where it goes. And that's where we'll leave that, because I don't want to talk any more spoilers, because we're like on the brink. We're on the brink of going over. So, all right. So you, like I said earlier, you're one of the most consistent writers that I follow on Instagram. And like every morning I watch your stories as I'm scrolling and I'm just like, how did you write another 500 words? And you just had a baby, lady. Like, how? So tell me like a little bit of that, like the behind the scenes. How do you keep so consistent as a writer?
So I have to give massive kudos to my husband. Basically, I get up ridiculously early. So my alarm goes off at 5 a.m. and then I write from 5:30 to 6:30. And if she wakes up or anything happens with the baby, he goes and deals with it so that my hour a day is sacred. And then we also do two evenings a week. So I have a Monday and a Wednesday, which is when I can do whatever I want. So I can go out with friends, I can read a book, I can do some more book work if I want to. And then he has Tuesdays and Thursdays to do whatever he wants. And then I look after the baby, which is great, because now that we're putting her to bed at 8 o'clock, I've still got like 2 hours before I go to sleep. And I'm like, yay. But yeah, so I basically, I'm more of a little and often kind of person. So I can't sit for like 5 hours and do like 10,000 words. People who do that amaze me. I'm more of a, I'm going to aim for 500 words. And if I write 1,000, perfect.
That's so cool that you had that structure set up with your husband. And I listened to your podcast, the Author Accountability Podcast, for those of you listening. And I remember listening to episodes where you and your co-host were talking about like, how are you going to prepare after the baby comes? And it's so cool to see how that has evolved and how you set up a structure to make sure that your writing is still a part of you, which is super cool. Because some people, when they have kids, they kind of forget about their other hobbies and things. So I just think it's really cool and empowering to see you do that. So props to you. Really
exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah. One of the non-negotiables that I spoke about with my husband when we thought about having children, I was just like, I'm not giving up writing. I don't care what happens. I'm not doing it. I need my writing time.
Exactly. Yeah. It'll keep you sane. So then you can take care of your family too. Oh, so great. And let's talk about your upcoming projects. Cause you, like I said, you're a consistent writer. You're writing all the time. And you also are working on multiple projects at a time, which blows my mind. Yes. So tell us about that.
Yes. I do like to put myself in a proverbial hell. I don't know why I do it to myself. I think I just like to be busy and I like my procrastination to be busy. So if I'm supposed to be working on project A and I want to procrastinate, I tend to procrastinate on project B. So that means I'm still productive, but I'm also not doing what I should be doing. Somehow it works out. Yeah, we had the anthology release on the 20th of April. Which is a short story of a character that we got from a name generator. And I got Ella Shadowball, Countess of the Great Storms. So she turned into a pirate captain who is also a storm witch. And they go on a little quest for Poseidon's treasure, which is exciting. I'm in a second anthology for that series, but I'm doing a different character. So I'm currently in the process of writing the short story for that. While I am writing book one of my next series, I got another idea for a novella. So I've decided to add that to my plan as well. And then I saw another opening for another anthology, which was putting like a freebie out so that people can get to know you and all of that. And it was by like a well-known indie author, J.A. Culliken. But she sells loads of books. She runs her own publishing house. She publishes other people's books. And I was like, this would be a great opportunity for me. Let's see if I can write a brand new story for it in 2 months. Yeah, I did write the story. It is not being published in the anthology. I decided to publish one that only needed editing because it was a lot quicker to sort out in the 2 months that I had. So that I think is coming out sometime this month in May. And then, yeah, I'm also plotting some more stories. So At the moment, I'm plotting a standalone and a duology. Wow. I think that's all I'm working on. I'm probably working on
something. There's probably
really
something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the Kane series, there will be 3 books in this series. Are you yes. stopping there? Okay. 3 books in this series. And then you have all these other little projects. Is that Patreon book going to be exclusive only, or are you going to publish it later on? Cause you're kind of working on that ongoing, right?
No, that is exclusive only. So the only way that you would get access to that is if you were a Patreon.
All right, little plug there. Go to Rianne's Patreon so you can get this book. I love it. Oh, you have so many projects happening and it's just so inspiring because I'm like writing one book and I've been writing it for a long time. And so it's just motivating to see that you can work at multiple. And I think maybe I will try and write multiple at the same time because I like your idea of procrastinating one story with another because then you're still working on something. So.
Yeah, like yesterday I was like, oh, I'm going to plot this story. And I ended up creating a map and the world instead. But I was like, you know what? I still did something for the world.
There you go. Doing world building. And that's huge because if you don't have the world to build upon. Oh, too funny. But before we go, is there any other little plugs or anything you want to say?
I mean, everyone go buy a copy of the anthology because you get 20 stories from 20 authors and all the proceeds go to charity.
And that's called Once Upon a Name. That's yes. a beautiful cover too. I love the cover of that. Well, this is Read It With Whiskey and it wouldn't be Read It With Whiskey without talking a little bit about whiskey. So Rianne, what is your favorite whiskey to drink?
Well, I'm not much of a drinker, but I don't particularly like whiskey. My dad absolutely loves it, but I am partial to a bit of Southern Comfort and lemonade.
Oh, that sounds good right now. Like it's getting warmer here in the States. I'm like, that good summertime drink. I love it. Yeah. All right. Well, where can people find you? Where can they find your books and follow along with your journey?
So the best place to find me is Instagram. I'm also on TikTok. And both of my handles over there are author Rianne Williams. I'm also on Patreon, again, author Rianne Williams. And you can find all of my books in Kindle Unlimited.
Awesome. Oh, so exciting. This was such a fun interview. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I had fun as well.
Rianne and I had so much fun, as you can tell.
And yes, that scene where Eli pretends to be somebody he's not in front of the princess. Oh my goodness, I love it. Spoiler alert. So much fun to read this. And I'm really excited to see what's coming next from R.S. Williams. As we now know, Rhianne, she is incredible. I love following her on social media. And like I mentioned in the interview, she is one of the most dedicated writers that I follow. And it definitely has helped motivate me to get back to writing. So thank you, Rhianne. I really enjoyed our time together, and I'm so happy to have you on the show. All right, next time on Read It With Whiskey, we're going to be talking to Noor Hayes, the author of Within Cessation. And this book was very entertaining, you guys. Talk about stories within stories. All right, definitely check in next time. See you later.
You've been listening to an episode of Read It With Whiskey. I am your host, Laura Gentinen, and I just wanted to personally hop in and say thank you so much for listening. Your support of the podcast means so much to me, and I would really appreciate it if you could go onto your favorite podcast platform and rate and review the show. By rating the show, you're going to help more people find the podcast so then we can grow. Once you review the show, share it on your social media, share your favorite episode with your friends, and come back next time to hear more from self-published authors. I'll talk to you soon.